You're listening to In Other News on KNDA 90.3 FM Anchorage, bringing you news, views, and music from the youth perspective. Things we care about, straight from our mouths. In Other News is a production of the Alaska Teen Media Institute. I'm your host, Ariana O'Hara.
And I'm Kelly Witches. On our show today, we will have some news and events, movies, and music reviews, and a story about an insider's perspective on today's politics.
It's summer, which means that movie studios are putting out their big summer blockbusters. And during this hour, we'll have a number of different movie reviews. First off, we have At Me producer Cornelius Nelson reviewing two of the summer's biggest films.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, a prehistoric blockbuster that we all remember, emerges again. This time bringing in $104 million in sales for its first weekend. This entry into the series reprises many things from the original. One of my favorites being Jeff Goldblum, returning as the chaotician Dr. Ian Malcolm. The film picks up just over a year from the events of Jurassic World. Now the island is dying and everyone is debating whether or not the dinosaurs deserve rights and should they be saved. The scenes are matched and improve intensity of the previous films. Chris Pratt reprises his role as gruff man Owen Grady, and we get a return of our favorite dinosaur, Blue, the velociraptor that Owen raised in Jurassic World. To top it off, we get a good dose of girl power with Bryce Dallas Howard returning as Claire and Daniel Pineda as a grouchy paleo veterinarian. Yes, that's a thing. The film itself lacks some plot, but makes up for it in something even better. Lots of dinosaurs! Like, this film takes dinosaurs and just slam dunks it with more dinosaurs. The action is even higher and there's even some horror. There are also moments where there's strong morality questioning scenes through the film about whether or not these artificial beings deserve life. 10 out of 10. Go dinosaurs. Deadpool 2 comes in smoking with its return and capitalizes with every single scene. Where the first film was a love story, this one comes back with another comical and relatable theme, family. Deadpool 2 starts with a more tuned in Wade Wilson wanting a family, but like all things in the Merc with a Mouth's life, things get all topsy-turvy. Wade is cast into a new circle of despair and must not only save himself, but the life of a teenage diabetic mutant named Russell, who is on the brink of villainy. Meanwhile, in the dark future, a grumpy cyborg named Cable, played by Josh Brolin, who is stuck with the consequences of the past, comes back to the past to exact his revenge. The film brings in a new batch of youthful mutants. Domino, a woman with a sick fro, Zeitgeist, a guy with some okay tats and a really bad acid reflux, and most of all, Peter. Not much is known about him. Luckily, Wade's old friends make their appearances as well. I honestly enjoyed it all the way through. It stays true to its grimy, fourth wall breaking dark humor, and creates quite possibly one of the best parachuting montages of all time. Also some of the best fight scenes I've ever seen since John Wick 2. The film has its very own style and isn't afraid to flaunt it. One of my favorite scenes was when Domino was having one of the most cinematically stylish chase scenes I've probably ever seen. This film is a headshot worth regenerating from. 9 out of 10.
Nice reviews, Cornelius. I haven't seen either of those, but it seems like I have to go see them today.
You're listening to In Other News on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage. I'm going to turn it over to our DJ, who will be curating music throughout our show. This is At Me producer James Schultz.
From the artist behind what is known as one of the best hip-hop albums of all time, I bring you Bridging the Gap by Nas, featuring his own father, the blues singer Alu Dara. Featured in the soundtrack to 2015's Creed, this track will have you wanting to fight like Rocky himself. The light is there.
You see, I come from Mississippi. I was young and running wild. Ended up in New York City, where I had my first child. I named the boy Nasir. All the boys call him Nas. I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. Let's go!
I'm the magnificent. Chuck Berry of this rap skit. Styles I mastered, many brothers snatched it up and tried to match it, but I'm still number one, everyday real. Speak what I want, I don't care what y'all feel, cause I'm my own master. My pop told me be your own boss, keep integrity at every cost, and his home was Natchez, Mississippi. Did it like Miles and Dizzy, now we getting busy, bridging the gap from the blues to jazz to rap. The history of music on this track. Born in the game, discovered my father's music like Prince searching through boxes of purple rain. But my Minneapolis was the bridge, home of the super kids. Some are well known, some doing bids. I might have ended up on the wrong side of the tracks if pops wouldn't have pulled me back and said, yo, yo.
See, I come from Mississippi. I was young and running wild. Ended up in New York City,
New York,
where I had my first child.
That's me, y'all.
I named the boy Nasir.
Yeah.
All the boys call him Nas.
That's what's up.
I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. Greatest man alive.
Yeah,
great, turn it up.
The blues came from gospel for blues. Slaves were harmonizing them ahs and oohs. Old school, new school, no school rules. All these years I've been voicing my blues. I'm an artist from the start, hip-hop got in my heart. Graffiti on the wall, could've ended in Spoffit. Juvenile delinquent, but pops gave me the right type of tools to think with. Books to read, like X and stuff, cause the school said the kids had dyslexia. In art class I was a compulsive sketcher of teachers in my homeroom. I drew pics to mess them up, cause none of them would like my style. Read more books than the curriculum profile. Said, Mr. Jones, please come get your child, cause he's writing mad poems and his verses are wild.
I was born in Mississippi. I was young and running wild. Moved to New York City, where I had my first child. I named the boy Nasir. All the boys call him Nas. I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. Greatest man, the great, greatest man alive.
Hey, 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 my papa was not a rolling stone. He'd been around the world blowing his horn. Still he came home, then he got grown, changed his name to Olu. Come on, tell him about all the places you've gone to.
I've been to Saudi Arabia, Mozambique.
Yeah.
Madagascar, Paris, Greece.
Uh-huh.
But little Africa is where we live.
Yeah.
Better known as Queensbridge.
Nas, you don't stop. Olu Dara in the house, you don't stop. Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, you don't stop. From the blues to street hop, you don't stop. Tell them, Pop.
Yeah, I come from Mississippi.
Let them know.
I was young and running wild.
Running wild.
Ended up in New York City.
Yeah.
Where I had my first child.
That's me.
I named the boy Nasir.
Yeah, daddy.
All the boys call him Nas.
Love you, boy.
I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive.
You the greatest, Pop.
Greatest man alive.
You the greatest, Pop.
Great man alive. Rest in peace, Ray Charles.
I'm Stephanie Fu from This American Life, and you are listening to In Other News, produced by Alaska Teen Media Institute.
Take a break when I break my leg. Save the day when I take her hand. I don't be into this. Take a break when I break my leg. Say the day when I take her hand and she break my heart and she take her arm and a leg and a car and the kids and the court taking course on me. And of course I'm remorseful, more so for the kids forced to use Morse code. Poor souls ain't got no voices. Take a disco nap when disco's dead. And the word goes live and I fix those heads. And the discos flop but the track don't skip. And the words don't jumble and the milk don't curdle and the cookie don't crumble. And the one-eyed man scream, Marco, this no joke, disco red. Too late. The blind townspeople finally found people. Kingdom came, freedom rang. Seen him saying, took his name. Who got the hook up on that Peter Payne? The book is broke, you shook his hand.
Tell me how you feel inside.
Tell me, oh yeah.
Tell me.
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 head down, tell me of your day. Remembering your say, Chancellor, baby, you're uneasy. I can tell, but in your way, you're on your way. Remembering your say,
following Noss, you heard Rememory from Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment. Using the combined sounds of Chance the Rapper's vocals and Nico Seagal's horns, the album Surf delivers many great tracks, Rememory being the highlight of all of them.
Thanks for the music, James. Let's move on to what's happening in the next month in our neck of the woods.
For some updates on local events, here's Danielle Duclos.
With summer in full swing, Anchorage has a lot of events happening in July. The Forest Fair is going on today until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Girdwood. There is food, live music, and local vendors who will be selling handmade crafts. There is no entry fee and camping is allowed, but permits are required. Starting July 11th and going until the 15th, the Chugiak Eagle River Chamber of Commerce is hosting its 33rd Bear Paw Festival. This year's theme is The Adventures of Amelia Bearheart. There will be events, food, and carnival rides for all ages. For a schedule of all the events, visit bearpawfestival.com. Then, on July 21st, from 11 a.m. to noon, there is the Anchorage Disability Pride Celebration at the South Anchorage Sports Park. This event is the first of its kind to celebrate and recognize the accomplishments of those with physical and intellectual disabilities. There will be music, food for purchase from Yeti Dogs on site, as well as a variety of guest speakers, including Paralympic athlete Andrew Kirka. And on July 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., there will be the Alaska Aviation Festival at the Alaska Aviation Museum. It's free for all ages with vintage aircraft flybys, live music, and other family activities. For more information about any of these events or others happening in Anchorage, visit anchorage.net.
That was ATME's Danielle Duclos with events.
You're listening to In Other News on KNBA 90.3 FM. We are a production of Alaska Teen Media Institute. To learn more about our organization, you can check out our website at alaskateenmedia.org.
This show, we're featuring reviews of films that are hitting the theaters this summer. Now to Michael Stallworth's movie review of Pixar's latest sequel, The Incredibles 2.
Incredibles 2, not The Incredibles 2, kind of weird, but okay. Had a lot to stand up to if it even wanted to compete against the original film. The original Incredibles, aka Fantastic Four done right, had it all. Action, comedy, drama, not to mention incredible animation. Bad pun, I know. It has gone down as one of the best Pixar films, and it is many people's favorite. The Incredibles was full of extremely memorable moments and was a precursor to the superhero boom we live in today. The new film finds our favorite super dysfunctional family minutes after the ending of the first. After intervening with a supervillain known as the Underminer, they are approached by a rich tycoon named Winston Dever to bring supers back into the spotlight. To the incredible surprise, he chooses Elastigirl to spearhead the effort. This movie is a dynamic flip in the narrative compared to the first. It shows Helen embracing her new role as the provider and Bob becoming a stay-at-home dad. But when a new villain arises, Elastigirl has to put away her homesickness and become the hero she has to be. So how does the sequel stack up? I can tell you that it's an incredible time in the theater. Last pun, I promise. Full of scene-stealing moments from both Frozone, Jack-Jack, and Mr. Incredible. It is funnier than the original, has more action, is actually darker, and knocks on more darker themes with its visuals, so I would say be careful with younger children. I give this film a 4 out of 5. Go see it while it's still in theaters.
Thanks for the review, Michael.
Next, we have an interview that I conducted with my friend Bryn Morse explaining what the U.S. Senate PAGE program is. Bryn is 17 and was a participant in the program from the fall of 2017 to this January.
The PAGE program is a program for juniors in high school. And during the semesters, we have less than 30 pages, generally. Pages either serve during a semester, during the school year, or one of 2 3-week sessions during the summer. And our work is primarily setting up the Senate chamber every morning, and then whenever a senator is about to speak, getting them a lectern and water. We also have other duties when they're holding a vote.
So, Bryn, what made you decide to apply to the Senate PAGE program?
I had a couple reasons for wanting to apply. I figured out about the Page program when I was spending a week in D.C. watching the presidential inauguration last year, and I understood that pages would get to watch senators speak all day and that they would get to learn a lot about politics, and I had learned a little bit, and so I wanted to learn more. I also really needed something to do during the summer because at that point I hadn't made summer plans. So I originally applied to be a summer page, and then I was accepted to be a page in the fall.
Can you describe what a typical day looked like for you?
Pages would wake up at 5 a.m. and then by 5:30 we would be downstairs for breakfast. At 6:15 school started, and it generally lasted about 2 or 3 hours. We had to be in the Senate an hour before the Senate convened each morning, and so class length would vary depending on what time the Senate was convening. Once we got to the Senate, we would be working every other hour. We had a lunch break either from 12 to 1 or 1 to 2, and if we were on the late shift, we had dinner before the other pages went home. Every other day, we were sent home at 6 p.m., and the other day we stayed until the Senate adjourned in the evening. And once we got home, we had to be in bed by 11 p.m.
Did the Senate ever, like, go past that? Did you end up staying up to ungodly hours of the night?
We were very fortunate to have a couple of late nights. In fact, the first late shift I had, it was the second day working there. We were there till, I believe, about 10 p.m., when the Senate goes past 10 p.m., we generally get school canceled the next morning. And that night, it went past 10, and so we got school pushed back a little bit. But we had presentations from outside groups coming in to teach us about safety, and so school wasn't completely canceled. Some other late nights were when there was a votorama on the tax legislation, which means basically the Senate is voting on amendment after amendment to a bill until all the amendments have been voted on. We also stayed up till about, I believe, 3 a.m. when the government shut down for the first time in January.
When you were staying up so late and you had to work late, but you had school in the morning, so you basically had very little free time. When did you do your homework?
So every other hour while we were at the Senate, we were able to go into the back hallway and complete our homework. When the Senate went really late, school was generally canceled the next morning. And if the Senate went after 9 p.m., we didn't have to turn in homework that had been assigned that day for the next day, although any long-term assignments were still due.
How did your schooling in D.C. affect your schooling in Anchorage? Did it prepare you for the second half of junior year?
So in some ways it did, in some ways it didn't. I took only 4 classes while in D.C., which was the case for everyone. And some of those classes I didn't really need the credit to graduate high school or for college. And they didn't offer any AP classes. So that was not the same preparation I was hoping to get, but we still, even though they weren't considered AP classes, we still had a challenging curriculum, and I was able to take the math class that I was in, which prepared me for the math classes I was coming back to for the rest of my junior year.
How big an influence on your future, if at all, was the Page program?
The Page program had a huge influence on my future. It made me appreciate politics and the process that bills go through in order to be passed. It also exposed me to other teenagers my own age who are interested in politics and likely going to go into that as a career, which is not something that I see every day at home.
Did all of this, like, exposure to the workings of government and the Senate and everyone, did you meet any new senators that you'd never really thought you would meet, like people you see every day on the news? Or did you, like, gain a new perspective on senators who you may have, like, vastly opposing viewpoints to?
I definitely gained a lot of new perspective and gained a lot of respect for every senator, which really surprised me. I met some people who I was very happy to meet. In fact, I was able to meet 4 former vice presidents and the current vice president while working in the Senate.
What was the biggest benefit you got from the program?
The biggest benefit I got from the Page program was actually being around other teenagers who are interested in politics. The reason that was so beneficial is that I was with kids from all across the countries with very different viewpoints. And so by being around them, by working with them, living with them, and going to school with them every day for 5 months, I was able to have a much better understanding of different people's perspectives and clarify my own views on political issues.
Were there any drawbacks?
Well, it was certainly difficult waking up at 5 a.m. every morning, and it was a really long work day, which is very different than what I had been used to at home. There weren't extracurriculars for the most part available to us besides student government, and so as a result of that, we had a very narrow focus as far as what we were focused on.
Do you feel like you gained super valuable insight into government and politics?
I certainly have a much better understanding of government and politics. What I learned most about was what individual senators think about issues, because we spent most of our time sitting on the Senate floor listening to the senators give speeches that most people across the country won't watch, even though it's all available on C-SPAN. By being exposed to that, I have a better understanding of how individual senators think about issues versus how the entire party thinks or caucuses think about issues, and how they work together despite any differences to actually get the legislation passed.
Do you think the pages in the program represent the diversity in the nation?
The PAGE program is really unique because pages are appointed by senators normally from their home state, which means you hardly ever get a senator who appoints more than one page. As a result of that, we get people from all across the country who have very different opinions, and every group of pages is different from the last.
I've heard there's a candy desk in the Senate, and whichever senator sits there, it's their duty to refill the desk. Can you speak to the accuracy of this, and if there are any other fun quirks in the Senate, or if it's all just business?
There's certainly other fun quirks. I'll tell you about the candy desk. Right now, Senator Toomey of Pennsylvania sits at the desk that's right next to the door where most senators enter during votes. And so his desk is the candy desk. And since he's from Pennsylvania, he generally has a lot of Hershey's products in the desk. Unfortunately, pages are not allowed to eat the candy, though.
What about the other quirks? Anything else?
A lot of senators will have goods from their home state that have been given to them that they'll have out in their offices for visitors. And so there's actually a list that somebody has made of what you can find in different senators' offices. And that list has been distributed amongst some staff who work at the Senate. I know one senator has Coke products. Another senator, or maybe multiple actually, have small bags of peanuts.
Awesome. Thank you.
Wow. I didn't know that's what they do in D.C. Cool.
We're going to turn things back over to James for some more music. What do you have for us, James?
First up, from the fresh up-and-coming rapper Sylvan LeCue, I have his track, Best Me. It combines modern hip-hop beats with golden age flow. Here it is.
Apologies in advance. Jealousy ensues, but I choose to understand. I sip slow, think slower, cause people love to judge when they barely even know you. Let me say that again. I sip slow, think slower, cause people love to judge when they barely even know you. When I was 7, used to rock soldiers. Hot boys had it poppin' from the Neuer. I need a project chick from the corner. Cause I had a friend, she was like 10. Even then I used to buy blow pops from the corner. Valentine cards, milk money by the quarter. Fast forward, now it's dumb girls. Henny by the fit, 20 pumps, 6 condoms and recorders. Not a spike kind of sorta. Got engaged, now I'm thinking about a daughter. Spend a lot of time even though I can't afford her. Please keep it coming with the brown water. Please. Back when I had plans of being whole, going for a change for the quarter waters. When I was naive to these things, I really wanna follow what my heart shares. Money ain't a thing till it's not there. Same till you need a queen, all the same till you meet a king. You know what you need when you're dead broke. You know what you want when you see the dream.
All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. Best me, possibly.
Upset drunk on a late night. Two shots out from a Drake light. I remember those days when I used to bump day and night.
Day and night.
Scott said I was on my own. Since then I've been on my own. I ain't never had a handout. A bunch of mistakes in my past, trying to stick to a plan route. But that's life, my time just don't pan out. No, lately I've been trying to bite my tongue. Dog, I've been in a fight so long, so long, so long, so long, so long with myself. Mirror, mirror on the wall, why is it always a knack to attack on myself? I can use a little slack for the wealth, but I'm too afraid to ask for the help. Still attached to the past, and it's felt like way too strong. I don't ever wanna wait too long, but I know if I
hold on, no, you're wrong.
Go and get your dough, baby.
Hold on, no, you're wrong.
Just don't lose your soul, baby.
Hold on, don't you know?
Love won't ever fold, baby.
Killing myself that I can use some soul, baby. All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. Best me, possibly.
Step up in this like. Look at what the cat dragged in. Hey. Used to call my crushes on my mama's house phone. 13, young and thought I had it bad back then. I'ma be rich as fuck. Let me bring them racks back in. Had to keep me motivated in a city full of traitors, drug dealers, blood killer. Keep it old fashioned. I'ma be my own captain. Robert Frost theory, never had Siri. Thank God for the vision I was brought back then. No new phone, I'm just done with all the acts, my friend. You ain't adding to my life, then you subtracting. You ain't gotta hit my jack and put the buzz back in. Hold the phone, phone. Caught up in a late night. Can't stay for the day, ma. Had to catch a red eye, baby, safe fly. 2020 tunnel vision through the hate, ma. Intuition got me feeling like Draymond. Circumstances I've been slipping over fake knots. No patience, but I think too much. Still, I think I lack confidence, still. I think I want prominence, dominance. Good lies, you gain common sense, but that starts with me.
All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. All I wanna do is be the best me. Best me, possibly.
Around my way, both that they get through the day, and I'm inside just counting blues, hiding from the TV news. Sex and drugs is all my pleasure in this little life of leisure. My pretty girl, she don't believe anything she hears or sees. Your politician, stage magician, little difference. Well, what's the word on the street? What's the word on the street? I said, what's the word I need to tell myself? 'Cause all these bills, they just ain't helping me.
What's your goals? What's the price of your soul? Perfections, imperfections, what a life to behold. No texting on intersections, keep your eyes on the road. Don't be caught in the fast lane, driving slow. Yo, I am rock and roll with bebop, the rebirth of Leopold Stokowski. I'll be the first to rework verses so that they sound profoundly loud in the cathedral. I'm surrounded by evil, they brutalize unarmed people. Everybody got this, everybody got that. Everybody's rich, everybody acting like their pockets is fat. Copy this and copy that, they probably dissed somebody in the comments. You get bodied over that, now they call you the city's finest. We celebrate our killers, loving they rap. And not enough graduates get respect. I know it's real, it's crazy out here, not safe. Yo, the Draco would clear the block. What's the op? Why all the hate, yo?
Why's the word on the street? Tell me, what's the word on the street? What's the word I need to tell myself? Cause all these pills, they just ain't helping me. I can't fight the sea. What's the word I need to tell myself? Pills, they just ain't helping me.
You just heard What's the Word from London-based rapper Joe Fox, featuring Nas. It has a catchy beat and a great message of personal responsibility. Before that was Best Me by Sylvain Leclue. There's still more music to come, but for now, back to you, Kendrick.
Actually, it's Ariana. Thanks, James.
Yeah, thanks, James. Let's hear some local news stories.
As Anchorage crime rates rise and criminals become more creative, it is important to know and learn how to protect yourself even with your security, because you can never be 100% protected. The Alaskan Troopers and Police Departments got your back with some rules you should know. Keep all value items on your property locked up. Game cameras are a cheaper alternative to installing a security system. Don't leave ladders on the side of the house. Keep windows locked. Light your property. Always make it look like you are at home. Get to know your neighbors. Check out ADN.com for more tips from troopers. Just search protecting your property. There will be more 4th of July festivities this weekend. Before you celebrate America's independence with your legally acquired fireworks, make sure you check your thermometer. Due to extreme temperatures, upwards of 80 and dry conditions, worried fire officials have continued the ban on fireworks in Anchorage and the Mat-Su. 70 degrees too hot for your Alaskan body to handle? Well, hop in a lake. Just remember, when you feel the need to stay cool in a heat wave, to look for the Anchorage lakes officially sanctioned by the municipality, such as Drew Lake and Goose Lake.
You're listening to In Other News on KNBA 90.3 FM. Let's get back to movies.
So far, we reviewed movies from the Marvel Universe, the Jurassic series, and Pixar. Next up, we're moving into the Star Wars universe.
With his review of the latest Star Wars movie, this is At Me producer Brandon Peddle.
Solo, A Star Wars Story, the spin-off movie that elucidates the origins of favorite Star Wars character Han Solo. It's another film that bolsters the pattern of having more lore building than actual main story continuation in the George Lucas-created universe. It's a counterintuitive formula, but it nevertheless seems to be feasible for Disney, now that they reign over the galaxy far, far away. In Solo, we see many of the formative moments in Han Solo's galactic outlaw career, many of which were referenced in the myriad Star Wars comics, books, and of course, movies. During the film, we meet a few new faces. Kira is Han's love interest from his youth, and a woman who is still very close to the outlaw's heart. We meet Tobias Beckett, the mercenary who plays a large role in putting Han Solo on his path toward being the man we know him as. We're introduced to new locales as well. We see the muddy trenches of the planet Mimben, and the cramped mechanical underworld of Han Solo's home planet Corellia, among others. We even briefly see things from the Empire's perspective, in their Manifest Destiny expansion across the galaxy. The new environments are all unique, but most aren't especially innovative in terms of scope or color in the opinion of the author. As for the protagonists, many characters have logic behind their actions here, and legitimate reasons to behave the way they do. This is refreshing, as in previous such stories, some of the characters that recur here had no origins for their existing loyalties and values. Thanks to such meetings as the encounter with the famed Wookiee Chewbacca, Han's gambling rival with Lando Calrissian, and the discovery of what sort of person Kira has become since he last saw her, Han's future actions now have more gravitas to them. That said, this kind of web of interpersonal growth is an ironically double-edged sword. At points during the film, an emotional event occurs, and it seems the audience is expected to feel similar emotions to the characters, despite having nowhere near the investment we understand them to have. These sections come across as a little forced. On the other end of the spectrum, supporting characters such as the droid L337 and gang leader Lady Proxima add interesting depth to the main character's development, but on their own are somewhat forgettable. There is a strong human element to this film. From the bribing of an Imperial customs agent in the previously unassailable Empire, to the primary antagonist Dryden Voss's extreme emotions, to the desperation for survival and freedom shown throughout. Emotion and sentimentality are very much on display here. Even Beckett, the stone-cold mercenary, shows love for his counterpart Val. Fans of the Star Wars universe will appreciate the little references to the past and allusions to later events in the continuity. Oddly enough, for a spin-off and origin story, the movie strikes me as very much geared toward people who are existing enthusiasts, more so than new explorers to the franchise. The action, however, is amenable to almost any viewer, and the new and unique environments are put to good use in the tense moments, helping the scenes fit well into their settings. It may not be what some fans would consider a traditional Star Wars movie, but the author is of the opinion that it ingratiates itself well in the greater franchise, and brings out motives and formative points in some beloved characters' lives. Solo, a Star Wars story, does its job as a spin-off well, and does it in mostly stylish fashion. Though the movie isn't particularly groundbreaking, I found it enjoyable, and it catered to my sensibilities when watching Star Wars movies. All in all, I give Solo a 7.5 out of 10, and I do recommend seeing it if you find yourself with an empty few hours and a desire to tag along with some cosmic outlaws. This has been a review by Brandon Peddle with the Alaska Teen Media Institute.
Thanks, Brandon.
Let's turn it back over to James for one last block of music.
Keeping up with the Star Wars theme, the next song I'm going to play is called Star Destroyer. It's by an underground artist who's on the verge of releasing a new album, Jonah Renna. It's a psychedelic track that will have you feeling like an astronaut on the spacewalk as the universe fades out of existence. Sit back and enjoy.
You don't love me no more. I'm Stephanie Fu from This American Life, and you're listening to In Other News, produced by Alaska Teen Media Institute.
You just heard Gutter Girl from the alt-rock band Hot Flash Heat Wave, another psychedelic song about a love for her girl who's down on her luck. Before that was Jonah Renna's Star Destroyer. That's going to do it for me today. Thanks for listening to my music selections. For Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm James Schultz.
Thanks for the music, James. That's going to do it for our show today.
Hold up. Wait, I got one more. Just give me a second.
Man, when did we become movie review hour? For one last movie review, here is Michael Stallworth with his take on Sicario 2.
Sicario was an amazing action drama full of espionage and edge-of-your-seat moments with a story that had you on more twists than a roller coaster. And the sequel has done five gear shifts and hit the nitro. In Sicario, Day of the Soldado, the story is even more intricate with a plot that you will miss out on if you fall asleep for a minute. Where the original leans towards intense drama over action, Day of the Soldado leans more towards action, and I'm here for it. This jaw-clenching, nail-biting film follows returning characters played by Josh Brolin and Benicio Del Toro as they attack the cartel, but when the young daughter of a high-ranking mob boss gets involved, it makes them doubt their choices and orders and what they are actually fighting for. This film will leave you speechless as you sit in your chair wondering what will happen next and how deep the betrayal can possibly go. With amazing action set pieces and incredible acting, it will make you think about what goes on behind the government's closed doors. This was straight up a 5 out of 5, and I highly recommend it. See it as soon as possible.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, that will do it for today's show.
Thanks to all our contributors, Daniel DeClose, James Schultz, Cornelius Nelson, Kendrick Whiteman, Brandon Peddle, and Michael Stallworth.
In Other News is a production of Alaska Teen Media Institute. If you'd like to learn more about what we do or listen to past episodes of our radio show, please visit our website at www.alaskateenmedia.org. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I've been your host, Kelly Wages.
And I'm Ariana O'Hara. Thanks again for listening to In Other News here on KNBA 90.3 FM.